You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Friday, we finally got our FBI briefing. It was just the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, and myself. It was a very thorough briefing. No one that was in that room could walk out and say Eric Swalwell should be on the Intel Committee. I don't know. They had a briefing before in 2015, and I don't know what that briefing was like compared to this one, but it could not have been the same. The one answer that I got out of that briefing was there is no way Eric Swalwell should continue to serve on the Intel Committee.
This is December 21st, 2020. And that is Congressman Kevin McCarthy, Republican, California. He's on the House Intel Committee. As you heard him say Friday, he and Pelosi, because she is the Democrat leader from the House on the Intel Committee, got a briefing from the FBI concerning the real story behind Congressman Swalwell. So now McCarthy and Pelosi know more details than anyone else, anyone other than Swalwell and his Chinese spy girlfriend. McCarthy is saying, I think every member of the Intel Committee should be brought in to learn this information. I agree. He cannot speak to even a member of Congress who's on that Intel Committee, other than Pelosi, about what they were told Friday. But he says, and while I cannot, he said, tell you publicly what was said, it was enough in there to make me think and reaffirm there's no way he should be on that committee. And, of course, there are a lot of questions as to how he got on it anyway. Remember, Swalwell was just a city councilman in an obscure California city. And this spy, Christine Fain, sweet smile, nice, gracious, kind of got to know him, later helped bundle campaign money for him in a run for Congress, helped him get some interns in his office. And you think they're not spies? And then, before you know it, suddenly he is on the Intel Committee. Nancy Pelosi had to make the selection to put him there. Why did she do that? Now, if she wins House Speaker again, is her intent to keep Swalwell on the committee, on the Intel Committee? In fact, the question is, should he even be in Congress? We got a lot to cover about that still coming up. Oh, by the way, McCarthy also says all of this raises some real questions. Real questions about Democrats and their reliance and their relationship with China. He's not talking about Biden. He even refers to Congressman Adam Schiff. Did you know Congressman Adam Schiff, according to McCarthy, said at one point, it was not the job of China to warn us about the virus? What? Speaking of the virus, there's a new strain they're reporting in Britain, UK, many countries in Europe have shut down any flights from UK. We have not done so yet. Reportedly, our health directors believe that it's not going to get over here and it's not going to mutate anymore. And they say every virus mutates. We'll still see how that plays. The election challenges are still in play. And of course, mainstream media, which would not deal with the Hunter Biden laptop, is really running, or some of them anyway, about a rumor that Trump is thinking about martial law, declaring martial law if he does not get to stay in the White House. We'll deal with that story. And by the way, Georgia is not prosecuting those that they know voted twice. They got almost 2,000. They know who they are. They're not going to bother. We're also going to focus on the media, not just bad, not just sloppy, but according to President Trump, corrupt. The COVID story coverage, perfect example. And COVID deaths, I mean, there's so many false deaths blamed on COVID, when in fact it might not well be. And we're getting additional reaction. We continue to get reaction from that Sidney Powell interview last Friday. Quentin took the initiative to put together just a 90-second clip and put it at separate. I just looked. We're looking at, I saw, what, 180,000 reached already? 180,000 on Facebook reached by that interview I did with Sidney Powell. And there's some more developments I want to share with that coming up a little bit later. And I also want to remind you very quickly that to make sure you don't miss anything that goes up on our program, you can subscribe at LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. Simply click, you want to subscribe. It's free. We will not sell your information. LarryConnorsUSA.com. But for the next 2 hours, lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand, and Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go, go, go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You let your...
We don't have freedom of the press at all. It's suppressed news. Yeah. It's a terrible thing that's happened in our country in the last...
It really,
you know,
is.
It's been going on for... It started a long time ago, but it's gotten to a point. It's just... it's a terrible thing. It's not freedom of the press, and... We got to bring that back because the press is so suppressed. It's so dishonest. I don't even call it fake news anymore. I call it corrupt news.
Those are the words of President Trump on a New York City radio program with Rudy Giuliani over the weekend. As you heard him say, it's no longer just fake. It's just corrupt. I do think many. Believe, yeah, it probably is, the way we've been seeing things go down. Let's deal with very quickly his issue. We're going to really focus on the media more in the second hour, but let's focus on the president's statement about how corrupt it is, the sense that you're not getting the true story about the election challenges, in fact. The president is saying in that same radio interview, we are getting closer and closer, and I hope you let everybody know we're actually very close. He's talking about to getting some of these election results either turned over or getting full hearings in front of them. Now, Georgia is currently launching a statewide effort to match signatures as of today. President Trump is already saying that they're going about it improperly. They're going into the wrong locations that are not troubled, and they're not going to find that many mistakes. Now, over the weekend, Giuliani had also challenged states to let him and others examine the voting machines. He said, if you do so, we'll be able to provide proof of fraud. That was something, obviously, that Sidney Powell said the other day in the interview. She said, there's information on those machines. If we can get our hands to them, we'll know more about it. All right, let me go back to some of the issues about the coverage of all of this. According to Federalist senior editor Molly Hemingway, she said, we keep seeing the media sometimes push stories that just really are false to begin with. They haven't checked it out. They just don't mind doing it that way because they can kind of float it out there and see how it happens. She's not saying that, but that's pretty much what they do. I don't know how many times over the decades I've been on that side and, quote, true journalism, and I could witness it where somebody's just kind of floating a story to see what kind of reaction it gets. And there might not be that much proof, if any proof, behind it sometimes. But you still have stories that deserve coverage. There are stories that are right in your face. They are right in the face of the mainstream media right now. And on Fox over the weekend, Federalist senior editor Molly Hemingway was discussing, you want a story? Look here.
There are legitimate stories here that could be covered by a credible media that wasn't so partisan in how they handle things. There are very legitimate concerns about this very sloppy election. We all know that mail-in balloting was widely expanded. We all know and have known for a very long time that that leads to greater opportunities for fraud. We know that the standards for checking ballots were in decline. And so to tell people, tens of millions of Americans who have legitimate problems and concerns about that sloppiness, that they're not going to cover this and that they're only going to, you know, cover it in the most outlandish way, is not doing a service to the country. There really will be, moving forward, attempts to deal with this electoral situation so that people can have confidence. And our media have not been covering that story very well.
I think that's exactly correct. They have not bothered covering it, so you're not getting the story, are you? And I will admit that sometimes when you get a story, you're already at a point that, well, depending on the source, I don't know if I believe it or not. And sometimes you're going to buy, unfortunately, you should not, but unfortunately, if it comes from a, quote, particular host or news source that you normally trust, that you say it's got to be right. Don't ever stop questioning. Don't stop questioning. And that applies to me in this program. I never mind being questioned. I mean, if you can't defend what you're saying, then you need to admit it. And if you're wrong, simply admit it. I'm looking at a story here that it's been pretty much kind of ignored by the media. Again, we're talking about trying to understand what's really happened with the election and the challenges that are still out there. There are numerous challenges, and yet that have been put aside. And if you try to discuss it with anyone on the left, their attitude was, how many times are they going to do? They've been thrown out of the court repeatedly. They've been told it's not any good. Well, they're never really generally getting a chance to give details. They kind of submit a brief. They've got some things attached. Maybe they will get something in there that might look good, but other times it's just a decision. I don't need to hear any more. I've seen enough, and I'm not going to go forward. I mentioned the other day that'd be very much like a prosecutor trying to convict someone of murder and stands in front of the jury and says, here's the case. We're going to prove this guy did that. We've got proof, and we're going to do this, and we'll show you. We'll see. And when he finishes the opening statement, the jurors look at each other and say, let him go. There's nothing there. You haven't heard the evidence. Well, we heard what you say you're going to have and what you want to present. Just let it go. Well, of course, we don't do things that way. But that's the way you're supposed to believe this election and challenges should be handled. Make your opening statement, and then we'll decide, okay, we're done. Move on. You know, there's a Dominion voting system whistleblower. Now, this story's been pretty much pushed around. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. A Dominion voting systems whistleblower said she witnessed irregularities at the center where they were doing the counting in Michigan. Now, she testified. She testified at Michigan Senate hearing. She said the Dominion CEO was lying about what he had to say, about lying about how many folks were actually inside the room at what time, and that the vote tabulator unit sit atop a ballot box that's sealed. She said that wasn't true. And she told the committee that Dominion works with all political parties and uses supposedly a non. This is the CEO of Dominion saying. He says the Dominion works with all political parties and uses a nonpartisan manager who co-owns the company and so forth. But again, the whistleblower says, no, that's not right either. She said there are numerous inconsistencies with his entire story. And she said the problem is he's speaking to you in a way a lot of you don't understand. You can't really even understand what he's saying. And he did that to remain credible. Basically, throw so many facts and details of tab numbers and calculations and so forth, and they're sitting there, what? And, of course, the media is more than glad to walk away from a story like that and not really investigate it, especially on the left. But you could blame some other sources as well. And then you have this rumor that's been going around, a rumor involving President Trump, and some mainstream media has picked it up. It's got, you see, they don't have to do a lot of play. And again, it's the kind of thing in today's world and age, once it gets up and it flashes once, it's there, it's locked in your mind. Basically, that the president is considering martial law to stay in the White House. I don't give a damn what the election results are. Even if I did get, I'm going to stay. I'm going to bring the troops in. They're going to surround it. We're going to stay here. That's what they would have you believe. Now, again, Federalist senior editor Molly Hemingway over the weekend on Fox News made a response on that as well as to how it's been treated and what we're seeing on the other side. And what she says coming up next, you're not really seeing this in the mainstream media.
President Trump tweeted last night, I believe, that that was fake news. So you have it from the horse's mouth that that was not that he has no intention of declaring martial law or anything else crazy that the media are putting out there using anonymous sources. This is one of those things where the media have spent the last 4 years running false and defamatory stories using anonymous sources. They are not held accountable when those stories do not turn out to be true.
That's exactly correct. Because every time they've been calling something that's not true, they walk away. You'll never see them reported again. They'll just walk away. This is very akin to walking into a room, laying a grenade down, and you walking out. And let the damage happen. They know exactly what they're doing. Believe me. We have seen that from these Project Veritas tapes coming out of the CNN morning meetings, production meetings, deciding what they're going to cover and how. And when you got the president of CNN, I'm not talking about the president of news, I'm talking about the president of CNN, sitting in, listening in on these meetings and giving his advice and information, like on the Hunter Biden story, coming out of the New York Post, the laptop, saying, well, you know, obviously we're not going to get into that. Nobody knows. It's not, you know, there's nothing there. You got the NPR saying, we're not going to run the story. It's distracting to our listeners. It doesn't really mean there's no verification. I have not seen verification from a lot of the media regarding anything about Trump and his martial law story, as they reported. They always quote anonymous sources. Now, we've been down that road before, haven't we? When we now know that the anonymous who wrote the book with his name not on it, signing it simply anonymous, about all the chaos inside the White House and how bad it was, and he even lied to CNN when they asked, are you the author? He said, no, I'm not. Then later, yes, I was. And CNN said, well, you lied to us. As if CNN doesn't do any lying. But then we all knew what most of us suspected. He was nothing. He was a nobody in the White House, just kind of looking to make some money. Now, getting back to the election for a moment and what's going to happen at this point. There are efforts underway in Georgia starting today to start going through and trying to verify some signatures. Well, that sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? President Trump had some remarks on that regarding the signature verification over the weekend and the radio show with Rudy Giuliani.
The machines and also the signature verifications.
Yes.
Let us see the signatures in Fulton County in Georgia and a couple of other places. Let us see the signatures. You'll find that hundreds of thousands of signatures either don't exist or were fraudulently written.
That's his position. You may certainly disagree. But do you know for fact? I don't. Does the president know for fact? I don't know. He's relying on other people to tell him. I doubt he knows personally, but that's, I'm sure, what he's been told. Or maybe he believes and or a combination thereof. And he says, but doing the verification isn't going to mean anything if you don't go to the right counties. And we do know this. I'm looking at a piece written by Paul Sperry. This originally appeared in Real Clear Politics. He points out that more than 1,700 in Georgia were singled out for illegally casting two ballots in the 2020 election. Two ballots. But the state admits the fraudulent votes weren't canceled out. The majority of those were Democrats who cast an absentee ballot either by mail or drop box and then also voted in person on Election Day, which is a felony. Now, some of them might not have meant to do it in the sense of a felony. They thought, well, I don't know if my mail got here, so I better come do it. And I assume if I vote here, they would cancel the other. Or maybe others said, no, I know I can get away with it. Let's try it. And apparently they are going to get away because so far, not one of those singled out for illegally casting two ballots, and they have their names, has moved forward with any prosecution. No prosecution. Sidney Powell, on an interview last Friday, talked about the legitimacy of this election. I want to play a small clip of that again because it's worth hearing again. The legitimacy versus illegitimacy. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If they want to prove they did it right, they should have no hesitation about allowing their machines to be inspected by government officials or independent data analysts. It's supposed to be a transparent voting process in this country.
Those are the words of Sidney Powell in the interview we did the other day, Friday, saying again what we all believe it should be in this country. We're supposed to be transparent with our elections. We want everything available for review. And if you have evidence like I just told you about in Georgia of 1,700 double voted and the state is still not doing anything to prosecute them, now do you not think that that is obviously a dereliction of duty or even a cover-up of those who are involved? You want to dig into it? There's no transparency, obviously. I will tell you this, by the way. That clip that we put up from the interview, just about a 90-second clip, that this was the idea of Quentin. He said, you know, I want to separate that out and put it up separate for you. And I appreciate it. It was his initiative. I've often thought about maybe we could do something like this, but I didn't take the initiative. He did. I want to thank Quentin for doing so, my director. And I'm looking at the numbers now, 170,000 reached on Facebook on that, 170,000. Almost 800 comments, almost 2,000 shares. But I want to share with you that there are those who have been very upset with me doing this interview with her. I mean, I got called some really bad things. I consider bad if I'm being told, you're no longer credible. I consider that very bad. So I guess those out there that just don't want to hear somebody that might disagree with them. You listen to this program long enough, you know I have people on here that disagree with me. I don't have a problem with that. The whole idea is, let's air it out. But if you missed it, it's still posted right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. I would tell you that it is a great piece in general. And we'll try to get Sidney Powell back on, hopefully before the end of the year. She, of course, one of the attorneys leading some of the legal challenges that Trump has been, originally she was working with Giuliani, and then they went in separate directions. But one of the things that she was dealing with the other day is worth also repeating, that Dominion Voting is still trying to suppress information. And one way to suppress it, go after anyone making the statement, demand that they retract. As they did, they accused her of making false and baseless allegations about voter fraud and that Dominion machines were switching votes from Trump to Biden. And they were demanding that she give a retraction. Well, no one had gotten an answer from her on that point. Friday, she gave us her answer.
We have just more evidence than we can say grace over. This is the most flagrant, widespread fraud in the history of the world. They have crammed it up our nose. They expect us to just take it. The government and lots of other people want to turn a blind eye to it because of the multiple trillions of dollars in play here, the corrupt elections they've run in countries all around the world, the dictators they've installed, the will of the people they've overridden in countless places, and now they're trying to pull this crap in the United States of America. I'm not retracting a blooming thing.
Bang, that's it. Now, I would tell you again, I don't know if all of her information is accurate. It's her opinion, and she says she's got it. So you got a chance to hear it. You can refute it, you can argue it, whatever you want to do. But I will tell you, we know what's coming if the left gets control of the Senate and what they're going to do when it comes to guns and abortion. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
By the way, an added note about Sidney Powell, there's been a rumor and a story going around that, you know, the president has been clear about saying maybe we need a special counsel to investigate, you know, the Hunter Biden tax affairs. We also maybe need a special counsel to investigate the ballot fraud and so forth. And there's talk that Sidney Powell might be pulled in on one of those. But Attorney General Barr said he has no plan to appoint a special counsel to take over the federal investigation into Hunter Biden's tax affairs. And no plans to probe allegations of widespread voter fraud with a special counsel. Now, he's leaving December 23rd. That'd be before the end of the Trump administration. Republicans, some of them are still demanding a special counsel be appointed to both the Biden case and Trump saying for that and also for the election. Now, let me share something here with you. Let me show you again how the media covers things. The CNN representing, let's say, is one of the big mainstream medias. I'm looking at their opening page. I just opened it up on their CNN.com. Right in the center of it, they've got a picture of Barr and he's on big bold print. Barr says no need for special counsels to investigate election or Hunter Biden. Well, they're a fact. I mean, that's correct. That's what he said. I just told you that. But, of course, what they really like, they add in the second line, Barr contradicts Trump. Well, they're talking about that Russia was behind the cyber attack. Trump suggested the other day, I think China is. They're still pushing the Russian collusion thing on Trump. But here's the other part of that. They love putting that right in the center because they have made a point already that Trump thinks a special counsel should investigate Biden in the elections. And now here's the attorney general saying, I have no need. I don't see any reason or plans to do so. So they love it. But you know what they did not cover? What they did not cover, we're going to mention at the end of this program. I don't mean to mention, I'm going to spend some time on it. Barr did file and announce that they have the guy that supposedly made the bomb in the Pan Am flight that blew up over Lockerbie. You remember that story? 32 years ago. Pan Am Flight 103, 190 Americans, students and service members were on board that plane. And they say now they have indicted the bomb maker. CNN does not even report that. It's nowhere on the page. Nowhere. Oh, but they do have something along that line. The Russian opposition leader, Alexei Navalny, poisoned through his underpants. Well, now you got my interest today. Okay, I'll bite. What do you mean a poison through his underpants? So I'll open the story here for you. Let me share this with you, because this has got to be bigger than the Lockerbie bombing that took that many Americans, right? Okay, I'm looking at it. They say they looked at toxins, and they're checking around things, and they start looking, and as they're finding things, they examine his clothing, and he'd come down really sick. He's been a thorn in the side of Putin, and then they began to realize that they ended up using a toxin placed inside the seams of his underwear. So when absorbed through the skin, when he began to sweat, it went to his bloodstream. But not a word, not a word on the Lockerbie bombing. I will spend some time on that before we wrap up this hour. But I had told you that we already know what's going to happen with the Dems when they get in. They are going to immediately start pushing more gun control laws and blame everything on gun laws as to reasons we have violence in the country. And they're also going to do everything they can to rapidly accelerate abortions. They've already been doing that. And that is why the Georgia election, the Senate race, is so critical. Let me remind you of the numbers again. I'm sure many of you are so versed in it you could recite it and tell me. Republicans have 50 members of the Senate. I'm sorry, 48 right now. Let me stand corrected. I'm getting messed up. We got two Republican seats up for challenge, and that's among the 50. Not counting them at this point. Sorry, I got something on my eye. But what happened is that with the Democrats with 48 seats in the Senate, if they can win both of the Georgia seats that are up for election right now, then they will have a 50-50 tie. If Republicans get both, then there will be 52 Republicans against the Democrats' 48. If we only get one, it's 51 versus 49. The point being that if it's a tie, the vice president, which would be Kamala at that point, would come in and break any tie. So you get any laws regarding gun and assault weapons or whatever else they want to call it, or any laws expanding abortion, if it's a tie in the Senate because the House got it through, here comes Kamala, and she will go. You know which way she's going to go. NPR even reported back in 2019 that the House had passed universal background checks legislation in honor of the 8th anniversary of that firearm-based attack on Gabby Giffords. And this legislation would expand the background check requirement from retail sales to also include private sales. But they did not mention that the guy that attacked Gifford and opened fire at that event did get his gun at retail via background check. So this, quote, new legislation wouldn't have changed anything because he did it properly and he got the gun. And, of course, Biden's already made it clear that he is definitely going to go after assault weapons. In an interview in November 2019, CNN's Anderson Coppermouth asked him, so to gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns? Biden's answer, bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal. Now, again, the definition of an assault weapons is all over the board right now. Many folks just see what looks like a really radical weapon and say, that's military grade. It's not, but they think it is just because it's a nasty-looking weapon. It's like you've got a Toyota, and you put all kinds of stuff around it, and suddenly it looks like it's all souped up, and you could outrace anybody, and it's still the same thing. You just did a repaint job, put some additional stuff on it that makes it look really fast. So you can expect that. And the abortion issue. Biden had been a supporter of the Hyde Amendment. He's a Catholic. He had supported the Hyde Amendment, which bans federal dollars from being used in abortions. But in order to win and stand with the other Democrats to make sure he could win in that primary, he starts saying, I think it's time to review and change. In other words, the babies don't count if I get my political points here. The Pew Research did some facts about abortion debate in America. A survey. The 2019 survey said 6 in 10 U.S. adults believe that abortion should be legal in all or most cases. All or most. 38% said it should be illegal all or most of the time. And the divide on abortion is growing. And it is partly party affiliation, but it's also those who simply believe, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Catholic, I don't believe in abortion. Or I'm a Democrat, and I do believe in abortion. There was a December 2017 survey. Now, I guess that's some time back. Roughly half of Americans, 48%, said abortion is morally wrong. 20% said they think it's morally acceptable. I don't know how you reach that conclusion. I don't. And 31% said it's not a moral issue. I don't understand that either. You can't deny the morality of the issue and you're taking a life. And you want to see a comparison? Watch how many of the Democrats are also against the death penalty. Oh, we don't want to take anybody's life. Well, you're doing it with an abortion. Of course, they would try to say, well, you favor abortion. I mean, you favor executions, but you don't favor abortion. We're talking about a child that has done nothing, innocent, in the womb, versus somebody who's been convicted of a capital crime. If you think that the next 4 years with Biden-Harris in the White House or eventually just Harris over the next 4 years is going to not interfere with you or try to interfere with you and your guns or abortion issues, if they have control of the Senate and the House and the White House, both of those will be under severe assault. The warning is there. And I hope in Georgia that they get the votes and it's a legal election and it's done properly, that Democrats do not tie up the Senate. We'll take a break when we come back. Let's talk about this Lockerbie bombing. Some of you might not even know about it. Some of you vaguely remember it. Let me tell you what happened behind the scenes at a television station where I was working when that story broke. Please stand by.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the date, 32 years ago, was when the Pan Am Flight 103 blew up over Lockerbie, Scotland. So I was telling you earlier, because at that time we're talking about news coverage and how things are done at that time, and being covered now as well. That's a big story when the Attorney General, William Barr, announces the indictment of the guy they believe that actually made the bomb. But CNN didn't even bother reporting it. They've kind of neglected it. They were very quick to point out that Barr is not in favor of special counsel, as Trump has suggested we need for investigating the election and our Hunter Biden connections with China. But they just want to walk away from this story. 270 killed, 190 Americans, students, some service members. I was at a TV station as a news anchor that date when that happened. And we were doing cut-ins. I started doing the cut-in because I could see the story breaking and the network wasn't doing anything. And there was some kind of fictional program on, and I think it actually involved, on the top of my head, I think it involved a terrorist plot of some type. But it's fiction. So I cut in on the programming to tell everyone about this. At that time, we only knew it as an accident. We didn't know it was terrorist or what. Now, there was a lot of suspicion that's what it was. But again, we had no details. It was just beginning to develop. So on that 21st of December, 1988, I went on the air and started cutting into our programming. And I think I did about three, maybe four cut-ins before the network finally got on the ball and started doing their own reporting. And they had sources. Of course, I didn't. I'm just pulling the stuff off the wire and breaking in on it. And so now they're on, and so we back off. But because I'd done the original cut-ins and breaking into the coverage, particularly that program that was on the air, folks got upset. We get calls like that often. And I decided to answer one of them. And this lady was incensed about me breaking in and reporting that story. I said, ma'am, it's plane blew up. Let me put it this way. At that time, we weren't sure what had happened. But it either crashed or blew up first and then crashed over Lockerbie, Scotland. And her attitude was, well, they're not Americans anyway. I don't really care. I bit my tongue and said, well, actually, we don't know how many, but we do know many Americans are on board, military, and many students who are on an exchange program. We just don't know the number right now. So Americans were on board. I actually thought by saying that, it would turn her around and she realized I shouldn't be complaining about that. She shouldn't have been complaining even if they weren't on board, obviously. But maybe she would rethink me interrupting her program. No, her reaction was, well, I don't know them anyway. I said, but many might. She said, nobody in this area knows them. I said, we don't know where their hometowns are at this point. I mean, it's just, couldn't get around it. It's one of those things I've walked away from and it stuck with me all these years again. That when you're actually trying to do legitimate reporting and you're doing the best job you can with what you've got available, you're going to have those who complain and attack all the time. And she's not alone. There were many others calling and complaining that night and then on other stories that's happened as well. I don't know how we got to that point in this nation. And I'm talking back in 1988. I would think it's even worse now. I would. But then I look at CNN not even bothering to recover it today and report that Barr announced the indictment of the maker of this bomb. There is no justification for not covering that story. None. But again, that's kind of where we are in today's media. If there's any way they connect Trump to it, they would have the story. December 21st, 1988, Pan Am Flight 103. From Frankfurt to Detroit via London and New York City. blew up over Lockerbie, Scotland. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into more details about Congressman Swalwell and his association with this Chinese spy, and more on how the media does or doesn't cover something, such as Trump getting a vaccine when they said, oh, we can't do that. Well, we did. And false COVID deaths, false stories. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.